broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for January 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face. We reject revolution but stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to this freedom-loving, fantastic Friday broadcast. We've been breaking down this video that the FBI released about the death of Mr. Finicum. And we've got two incredible guests that ought to be able to break it down better than anybody else. First off, we've got Milwaukee Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., the People's Sheriff. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning to your listeners.
And we've also got former Sheriff Richard Mack on the line. Hello, Richard.
Good morning. Good morning, David. It's Sheriff Clark. It's good to be with you again, and thanks again for coming out to Arizona to be with us a few months ago.
My pleasure.
All right, so let's break it on now. Let's start with David A. Clark Jr. Did you see the video, and what do you think?
Yes, I saw it. I want to qualify. First of all, I saw the video. Obviously, it was from a great distance on the drone camera. I'm not privy to any of the interaction that went on the ground between the individual and law enforcement there. So, in other words, I don't have all the facts, but you can make some observations based just on what you see. And you know, the rule of thumb for me when you're involved in a crisis situation, if you call it that, if you want to call it that, is don't make it worse. And so, when I saw this whole standoff, I saw heard about the takeover of the wildlife center or whatever in that federal property. My biggest concern was that the law enforcement officials there not overreact to this thing, because it's just going to make it worse. And then as time went on, things started to deteriorate. But, I saw some things in the video, but without, short of hearing from the officers, reading their statements, it's kind of tough to make a determination of what exactly happened. However, that was a seizure under the Fourth Amendment, and so now what has to be determined is whether or not that seizure was reasonable under the circumstances, and that's for a court of law to determine.
What's your take? Some said that he charged the cops. Others say that he was, on his knees with his hands up or whatever. Some say he was reaching for a gun. Others say no, he was trying to stabilize himself in the snow, or he was trying to show them he didn't have a gun, or he was trying to check himself to see how bad he was shot. What's your take on any of that?
Yeah, I don't want to get into what others are saying. The video is there, and anybody can look at it and make their own determinations. But I'm an experienced law enforcement officer. There are certain things that go on. Split-second decisions, furtive movements, those sorts of things. I don't know, like I said, I don't know why the subject that was seized made the motions that he did. Was he reaching? Was he, had he been shot already? Was he cringing? I don't know, and that's what we'll learn as we learn more information as this investigation moves forward.
All right, Sheriff Mack, your turn, sir. Then I got a few questions for both of you. Go ahead.
Well, of course, the whole thing is disturbing, and I totally agree with Sheriff Clark that once you have a standoff of this nature, and it wasn't really even a standoff, although the media and others said it was, these people inside the Malheur Wildlife Reserve were coming and going as they pleased. So, that's not the definition of a standoff. They did occupy the building, no question about it. It's a building that's hardly ever used. In fact, there probably wasn't even anybody there when they did enter the building. So most of that is rather innocuous from a law enforcement standpoint. They're going in there and sleeping and bringing their bedrolls and sleeping around, and it's too cold to be doing any of that. But be that as it may, you knew sooner or later that there was going to be some sort of confrontation with the law enforcement and the occupiers. And so my first question to everybody that was there and across America who's watching this, what did you think was going to happen? Sooner or later, there's going to be a law enforcement confrontation. I was surprised it didn't happen sooner. I was also surprised that Ammon Bundy and others were allowed such mobility. But the specifically regarding the film from either the drone or a helicopter, I don't know which one, but obviously the van or the truck, the vehicle that was being occupied by Mr. Finnicum was stopped at one point, and then he takes off. That's going to get law enforcement riled, and they're going to have their fingers on their triggers. That's going to, and he's leaving at a high rate of speed. And then he sees, and I believe he had ample time to stop at the barricade on the highway that he was on. It looks like to me he's trying to go around it, and he fishtails and spins out. And at this point, there's something extremely life-threatening and stupid because there's some officer that looks like he's heading right for the vehicle on foot. On foot. And he comes very close to getting hit by the vehicle. At that point, officers are going to be able to, you know, claim that there was a life-threatening move by the suspect. And so Finnicum, when he gets out, he appears to me to be completely giving up. His hands are up in the air, high up in the air, by the way. But Sheriff Clark's right about so many different things that we don't know what commands he is being given. And I guarantee you he's being given some commands. And if he's going and doing exactly what they say, then the cops are going to probably be in a little trouble. But if he's not, and with the move that he made to try to go around the barricade or the roadblock that was there, all that's going to be determined, and that will have a great deal to do with this. But obviously this did not happen like they originally reported from some of the people that were there, and there's a lot of flashing going on, which looked like to me there were other shots being fired even after Finnicum was down, and I would like to know what all that is, and I would like to know what about other cameras that were down on the ground. Did officers have body cams going? Were there some dash cams going? And I'd really like to see all of that, but right now I would say this is really way too early to determine, but it's not cut and dry at all. People who are screaming that this is murder, I think, are way out of line. This was not an execution by the cops on Mr. Finnicum. You cannot tell that. We cannot say that because we cannot tell that by this video. And anybody who's saying that, I will argue with them and tell them that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
All right. Now, I will say this. A couple of things that I really want to make a point of, and I want to get your takes on this. I'm convinced that it certainly you can't call it murder. But I would say this, though. The federal government was indeed a hostile ambush the way they took those cars down. They claim it was just like a road or, you know, like a traffic stop. That's not even close to true, with barricades on both ends, the windy road, snipers in the trees, this kind of stuff. It's not even close to a road stop, people. That's not even true. The other point that I want to make about this is that, you know what? The government used excessive force here, lethal force. And I submit to you that was not necessary. Even if he was reaching for a gun, you know what? You could have waited a little bit more. There's a lot of different ways. And I don't mean to second guess people in the field, but here's what I would say. He was headed to John Day to meet with a constitutional sheriff. You could have, as the FBI, either one, asked to attend that meeting and then said, gentlemen, you're not leaving the room, or two, staked out that event and then maybe not included the sheriff and done the same thing. The problem is they know once they get into a constitutional sheriff's territory, the game changes, and they lose their ability to do whatever the heck they want to. And so I submit to you that it went all wrong because of the choices the FBI made. It also went all wrong because of the choices Finicum made. Your thoughts, Sheriff Clark?
Well, you know, this is where we get into some real dicey territory here, and we start to dissect the thing without knowing all of the information. Your position, that's valid. There could be 10 other different positions, what they could have done, what they might have done. What I try to deal with is what did they do, not what they should have done.
But do you think they used unnecessary lethal force?
I can't say it.
You can't say it.
I don't have all the information. And the video, and I think Sheriff Mack made an excellent point here, the video minus any audio is incomplete.
You're right about that. Hold on. We got a quick break. Stay right there, everybody. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and former Sheriff Richard Mack of Arizona, our guests. Now, the biggest reason that I say unnecessary lethal force was used, I'm not here to second-guess them out in the field with split-second decisions to make. However, I will say this. Even on the border, they use these beanbag rubber bullets and tase people and do all kind of things short of lethal. And when they had these people separated and the cars separated, they knew they had plenty, 20-plus, 30-plus government officials to maybe four people, two of them women. They knew that. So I'm saying that it was unnecessary to get in that whole situation in the first place and ill-advised. But you were saying Sheriff Clark Richard Mack had a valid point. Go ahead, sir.
That the video minus the audio is incomplete. So, you know, this thing is still under investigation, and there should be a lengthy and very transparent investigation. Excuse me, maybe even some congressional hearings. I've suggested that the Bureau of Land Management, I think this is a bigger issue here. What do we do about the Bureau of Land Management? They are terrorizing people out west. The federal government owns way too much land out west. I want to know why they feel they have a need to own all the land that they do. The Bureau of Land Management is an unreasonable bureaucracy. The cattle ranchers out there, and I read the kind of the history on this case before the takeover of that wildlife refuge building, whatever it's called. And the farmers out there were doing what they could inside the law to try to work with government. There was a happy median here, but nothing was satisfactory to the Bureau of Land Management but a total capitulation by these cattle ranchers to give up their land, turn it over to the federal government. So I think that if we don't address that, because this is now the second noteworthy one that has happened, is this confrontation between the Bureau of Land Management and American citizens, that this will happen again. So that's what I hope going forward, and that's going to involve Congress. Why does the federal government own all this land? And what do we do about these unaccounted bureaucrats who are terrorizing Americans out west?
It's a great question. In fact, the CSPOA is working on a press release to see what we can do to abolish the BLM and the Forest Service. Sheriff Mack, you want to respond to that?
Well, yeah, I really appreciate Sheriff Clark's comments about that because it goes segues right into what we're doing. And we hope that we can get sheriffs, including Sheriff Clark, from all over the country to support us in sending a letter to Congress and the media asking for the abolishment of the BLM. And other bureaucracies. I mean, right now, as Sheriff Clark alluded to, we're being so oppressed and tyrannized by the bureaucratic nightmare in Washington, D.C., and everybody, of course, the media, wants to give the bureaucracies credibility and that they're just federal agents doing their job. They're not doing their jobs. They're committing acts of unconstitutional tyranny. And this has to be addressed, and people are so frustrated that that's the reason Mr. Finicum was there in the first place, because the BLM and other federal agents were stealing his land and destroying his livelihood. And this happened to the Hammonds, and they have been terrorized by our own federal government, and a huge injustice occurred in which the sheriff in Harney County allowed this injustice to occur, and acting as if the BLM has some sort of authority, as Sheriff Gillespie in Clark County did with the Bundy situation a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years now, did. And Sheriff Clark's right. If we don't give people an option, if we don't give people some sort of help, if they can't seek justice locally and have somebody defend them against these bureaucrats who are completely outside the law, and asking the question, why do you even think you own the land in the first place, is a absolutely stellar question for all federal agents and for Congress and for everybody's congressmen and senators. If they can't answer that question, which we know they can't lawfully, say, yes, of course we do. Of course we own all the land. Then why don't you own it in New Hampshire and Vermont and Massachusetts? It doesn't exist that way at all. It's such a disparity. So you know, we have to do something.
Well,
go ahead.
Sheriff, that's interesting. You know, outside of the federal district in Washington, D.C., can't think of a real valid reason why the federal government needs to own any land, and that includes the national parks. I think those things can be run by the state just as well. The states
Absolutely.
Have a wonderful job
Absolutely.
Of running national parks, and they're very protective of that you know, that domain. But what happened to the Hammonds is an outrage. That's why I said I went back when the thing first came out. What I do is I try to educate myself. I say, where did this thing start? How did it start? And how did it get to where we are today? The Hammonds have
exactly.
gone out, tried to work with the BLM, and inadvertently, you know, they in a in a contained fire in a intentional burn to deal with some pests, which goes on a lot. Cattle ranchers can tell you that. Some of it ended up burning, I don't know, maybe 100 acres, maybe less, on this federal land. It was inadvertent, okay?
Right.
To me, if you want to, I'm not saying it's okay. If the federal government says, hey, that's a fine, here's $500 you got to pay for whatever. And that should be the end of it. But to charge this guy with a federal offense and make him do time, he goes, he does his time. They do their time, both of them. They came out, and then the Bureau of Land Management, again,
and they paid $400,000 in
people, they weren't satisfied with that. That wasn't enough. They wanted the full 5 years when a judge had already said, no, that's not necessary here. You know, 18 months, whatever it was. And they went and they did their time. They came out, and then they got an appeals court to overrule that original sentence and make these individuals go back and serve the rest of their 5 years. I mean, that is an outrage. And so you see, I know how people can get to this point. You try to work within the system. We have a system. We have process. And I'm real big on process. I say use the process. But when people reach a point where they no longer feel this process is going to work for them, you know what we ended up with back in the 1770s? We ended up with the Declaration of Independence when the founders said, we can no longer work with the crown. We can no longer work within your process. It doesn't work for us, and we're declaring our independence. And so when people have asked me, Sheriff, is there something else that could have been done? I said, well, we could have said that to the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Hey, does it have to come to this? Is there something that we can? No, they said, no, there isn't. We tried. We worked. They listed the grievances. They said, here's why. This wasn't a reactionary thing. And I guess people are reaching that point in the United States now with this overbearing federal government, with all this overreach, with this gun control executive order by the President of the United States. And it just goes on and on and on. And there comes a point in time when the American people are going to push back and say, that's it, no more. And I think that's what we saw out there, unfortunately.
Now, one of the interesting things about the sheriff in that county, is the sheriff in the county didn't, in my mind, do anything. He said he met with him, but what he really did is let the federal government just take control in his county. And what the debate is, and I want to ask both of you sheriffs about this. The debate is, Ammon Bundy says, look, unless you deputized the FBI, they don't have the right to be in your jurisdiction, sheriff. And the FBI says, we got deputized by the sheriff, which proves that they must have authority from the sheriff, and he is the highest office when it comes to law enforcement in the county. But then Ammon said, I want proof that you guys were deputized. I want the paperwork. I want the documentation. And they won't produce it. What do you say, Sheriff Mack?
Well, I'm shocked that the federal government would say they need anything from a local sheriff, because they always claim to have nationwide jurisdiction.
Yeah, but now they admit you've been right all along, and they do.
Yeah. Well, they have jurisdiction where they constitutionally are allowed, and geographically, as Sheriff Clark pointed out, they don't have all that jurisdiction. They don't own that land, so their jurisdiction is very limited.
All right, hang tight. Quick break. Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. and former Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Our guest brought to you by thepowermill.com, ladies and gentlemen, David A. Clark Jr. of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sheriff, and former Sheriff Richard Mack. Richard, you're right in the middle of saying before the break, sorry about that, that, you know what, the federal government has really limited access in the jurisdiction of these states in these counties, and so it's pretty hard to debate land. Their jurisdiction's severely limited, right?
Well, yeah, and the FBI has claimed before, well, we have national jurisdiction. We go from Juneau, Alaska to Miami, Florida, and we go from Maui to Bangor, Maine. And then now they're saying, well, we've got deputization from the sheriff. We've got permission from the sheriff to work here. And so first they claim they don't need it. Now they claim they got it but won't prove that they got it. So this just takes us back to one thing. The historical significance of the office of the sheriff. Who had jurisdiction in 1776? Who had it even before then locally? Who was the first law enforcement officer? The office of sheriff goes back, obviously, even before the existence of America. And the first sheriff was one of the founding fathers, Oliver Wolcott, who was actually a founding father. He was a sheriff back in, like, 1650. And, first sheriff was back then. He was sheriff about early 1700s and then actually signed the Declaration of Independence, and his first public office was sheriff. And they've always been the local chief law enforcement officer. And if you look at when the FBI was formed in 1935, who gave them local jurisdiction at that time? Was there some sort of agreement? Was there a contract? Did we cede over authority to them? We know that never happened. They have simply stolen authority and stolen land ever since then, and the states and sheriffs started going along, and now we have sheriffs like Sheriff Ward in Harney County that believe that they just have jurisdiction because they say they do. And we've got to have a check and balance system on that, and we have to, and I'll say this again, along with what Sheriff Clark said, we have to give these people who are being tyrannized and victimized by our own government, we have to give them an alternative and an option and some place to go for help when these sort of things happen, like happened to the Hammonds. And I can't believe that they were so docile in accepting what these courts did, but they were. I really admire them.
Yeah, they weren't as docile at first. They just got that way after the abuse over time, by the way. Sheriff Clark, what do you say about the FBI saying they were deputized? I think we need proof of that, number one, and doesn't it prove the point being made?
Yeah, but before I say that, you know, the federal government they have this uncanny ability to just be able to wear people down. When you're taking on the federal government, not many people have the resources to do that. The attorney's fees alone, the anxiety, the strife, and just listening to, or reading, I should say, what the Bureau of Land Management had done to the Hammonds and other cattle ranchers who just gave up and sold their land. They got tired of it. They got tired of the abuse. That's what the federal government does. But that's with this deputization. Look, this is, again, this is a process. The FBI, you cannot just come in and say, okay, I deputize you, you know, you now have this authority. There has to be some, because it's a legal process, there has to be some documentation. I know when the FBI deputizes my deputies to work on a federal task force, there is a process. You have to actually fill out paperwork. You have to be sworn in. It's an actual a process here. And so you have paperwork on file, and then you have to list, here's all the rules. You have to be held in compliance with federal law and federal policy. It's a very involved process. It's not walking in and say, I deputize you, you know, like they might do in the movies, and that's the end of it. So if this is the case, if this sheriff did deputize these federal agents, there has to be some paperwork that was signed, sealed, and
I wonder if there's a way through a grandma request or a FOIA request or something else we can get that documentation. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know how to go about it.
I would start at the state level rather than FOIA. The FOIA.
Well, you still have the situation here. Oregon State Police are likely the ones who killed Mr. Finnegan. And the governor was probably behind all of this because she's been asking and demanding that something be done and that we end this horrible siege. And again, you know, I just got a text from one of our members that all of us know very well. He agrees with Sam that the approach was way out of line. Well, this was because the governor pushed it, and it was overbearing because the governor pushed it, and the Oregon State Police were there. I believe that there was an informant of some kind, there had to be to where this was all set up.
I even have documentation that some friends were actually, believe it or not, several car lengths ahead, and the roadblock was so carefully planned that the people ahead didn't even know about it till later, and they weren't even that far ahead, so it was impeccably, perfectly timed.
Yeah, and was there excessive force? I believe that they went there with that in mind. You know, but however, I'm not going to second guess that at this point because obviously people went to the wildlife reserve armed and announced that they were armed.
Which we've been very clear they should not have done.
Right. And let's make this very clear again. We disapproved of this tactic. However, I totally understand the frustration of people in doing things like this because they don't have another out and we have offered the people of this country no alternative, no option. When government has become abusive and venal and oppressive, they have no option. There is nobody they can turn to except a few constitutional sheriffs across this country. And when your sheriff says, sorry, you're on your own, go get a lawyer, then it comes back with Sheriff Clark says, who has the resources to take on this Goliath in Washington, D.C.?
It's a great point. All right, Sheriff Clark, I want to know from you, are we going to just have to trust the government to investigate themselves, or do you think we can mount some kind of realistic third-party investigation that would get at the truth with no agenda?
Well, I think that's apparent here. You know, if you have the Oregon State Police, whoever exercised that use of deadly force, you can't have that agency investigated. I don't know that I trust the federal government because they're involved in it. You have to have somebody independent of it. I don't know who that would be. That's up to the state of Oregon.
Okay, because the big, huge talker, Michael Savage, is demanding that Loretta Lynch at the Attorney General office investigate it. If she fails, he wants the United Nations to investigate it. I think he's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want the United Nations anywhere near this, but there's got to be some entity they can put their heads together and come up with an independent entity, maybe a combination of different law enforcement agencies, because you want people who have experience with this kind of work. That's why I said the United Nations is preposterous. Who understand why things happen the way they do, who understand the law, put a panel together and of different, you know, like like I said, law enforcement agencies, attorneys, that sort of thing, so that we can find out what happened here, and then should anybody be held accountable, and what do we do moving forward in the future to prevent these things from happening again. Some of the tactics used when I watched this pursuit go down, it was a pursuit, and you know, they, like I said, when the vehicle ran into the snowbank, into the drift, whatever, you should never run up on a vehicle like that. That is tactically.
Yeah, that cop that did that. I don't know what
that
he
was thinking. Poor tactics. And so we got to look at that too. And because really a cop, and I say cop affectionately, I'm a cop, I'm a career cop, but a law enforcement officer cannot put themselves in a precarious position where they will have to use deadly force and then claim, well, you know, I feared whatever, when they put themselves in that position.
And see, that's what I believe happened here. There was too many other options. They were too freely moving and willing to meet with anybody, anywhere, anytime. They could have set up a better plan than that, for sure.
Yeah, they should have had a plan. They knew they were going to take this car down. And like I said, you don't make it worse. Time is on your side. When time's on your side, they had the vehicle stop. You use time to your advantage. They could have sat there for 3 days if they wanted to wait and get these individuals out of the car, but they didn't. And I said, I don't want to deal with what they didn't do. I want to deal with what they did. And when you look at that, you know, we'll learn more as all these reports are gathered. And
the only reason I want to focus on what they could have done and should have done and talk about rubber bullets at the border and other options rather than lethal is I'm hoping going forward we can have maybe a better idea about what should and should not be done.
Yeah, but we say that about these sort of situations all the time, and it doesn't seem to change.
Go ahead, Sheriff Clark.
But you also want to be careful when you know, giving these law enforcement officers, you know, we already outfit them with pepper spray, we give them collapsible batons, we give them tasers, of course you get the firearm, and now we want to add some more options, and that's fine. I don't care. First of all, I don't know where that's going to fit. The officer's duty belt doesn't even have any room anymore for any equipment. But I don't have a problem with adding some options on the force continuum, because that's what we're talking about here. But the officer, in the end, still gets to choose which option he or she wants to use. And then it's judged for its reasonableness at the end. So, yeah, you can give them rubber bullets. You can give them beanbags. It doesn't mean that that's what they have to use. Whatever they use, they have to articulate why I use this instead of this and this. And we got to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. They get to choose which option of force to use. It just has to be reasonable.
All right, quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, former Sheriff Richard Mack with us, David A. Clark Jr., current Sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin with us. So I think it's clear we need to really focus on the office of sheriff, what he can do to create an appropriate balance of power. I started the program by saying the checks and balances in America are so critical. I think that's what we're lacking today is an understanding of, an education about, and then the wherewithal, the will, the gut check, if you will, to demand on those checks and balances. And I think if we can do that going forward, we might make a huge difference in terms of what can be accomplished. I just wish this has happened in a constitutional sheriff's county to see how it ought to be done, David Clark.
Well, you know, you're right. And we've gotten so far away from the intention of the founding fathers here when you talk about self-rule. When you talk about freedom and liberty, you don't hear, by the way, any of these presidential candidates are all running around saying what they think we want to hear. None of them mention the word freedom and liberty. Very few of them mention the Constitution. And so I listened to this and I said, we've gotten so far away from it, we don't even use it in our vocabulary anymore. And once we get too far away from that anchor, if you will, that's the foundation of this country, then we're no longer Republican. I don't know what we are, but we're not what the founding fathers intended, and that's not really the country that I loved growing up, and I still love, but it's not the country that the country that we have today is not really what I want to see. I don't think it's very pretty.
All right, there's 2 points to make that I really want to focus on before the end of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about our country, our liberty, and our sacred Constitution. Transparency, due process, and the rule of law are of the utmost importance for the proper role of government. Therefore, we support the swift release of the Hammonds. That's one thing that I'm sad about in this whole big old blah, whatever it is. Rights have been violated, and we've simply ignored the Hammonds. Somehow we've got to put together a plan to get them free. That would be a huge start on all sides for justice, Sheriff Clark.
Sure, and without, I can't believe that there's not some attorney out there somewhere, even if it's, you know, from some firm not representing the Hammonds directly, just in the interest of justice and in the interest of freedom and liberty and the Constitution, that they can't free these individuals pending a further hearing, a further determination,
yeah, further investigation,
further discussion, even if it's an appeal to the full appeals court out there. Usually what happens in the first level of appeal to an appeals court, there's like maybe three of the justices instead of all nine or however many they
have. Yeah, actually there's several constitutional attorneys working on that, led by a guy by the name of Matt Shea, who is a state legislator in the state of Washington. He's also a constitutional attorney. He, along with several other attorneys, are working on that now. We need to get behind them and support their efforts.
But you know how long is this going to take? I'm surprised that they don't go into court and ask that these people be released on their own recognizance pending a further hearing, because justice is not served by having these individuals sit in a federal prison.
I agree with that. Sheriff Mack, what do you think? I think the release of the Hammonds is a critical point that we really need to spend our time and efforts on.
But it absolutely is, Sam. And that's the great injustice that has been exposed with all of this. That is really the reason Lavoie Finicum is dead. He also experienced his own frustration. But had this not happened, had this this horrible injustice, I mean, this is just catastrophic for this family and so blatantly unconstitutional, so blatantly ruthless, so far out of anything that should be happening to an American citizen, especially a good family like the Hammonds, that really needs to be where we focus, and those people should not be in there. Not Steve, not Dwight, not any of them. An old man at age 73 going down.
He's 74 now. He had a birthday,
and,
sir.
And oh, okay, 74. And now this is the whole thing about this. The federal government, as Sheriff Clark alluded to, the federal government does these types of burns all the time. They did them in my county, and they got out of hand. Nobody, and they burned up the half the side of Mount Graham. That's the mountain we all love in my county, in my community, in my home. I grew up there on Boy Scouts on that mountain. Everybody in that community loves our mountain, and the BLM burned it down. And it was supposed to be this controlled burn. None of them got charged with arson, as the Hammonds got. None of them got charged with domestic terrorism, as the Hammonds got. None of them paid $400,000 in fine, as the Hammonds did. And this government is sitting there and letting DEA agents commit crimes in Colombia with sex parties. They allow the Secret Service to do the same thing. They allow the IRS to commit all of these crimes against American citizens and flunk their own audits, and they get bonuses, and we have Fast and Furious running guns down to Mexico, and this is just the tip of the iceberg with the corruption of this administration and others previously, and nothing happens to these people, and they're all held up as heroes, and they go around the country saying what heroes they are, and now we have this happening to a citizen, and they go to prison, and no one answers for this at the federal level. And that's the injustice, and that's the catastrophe that we're facing here in America today. And somebody better do something about it. And the governor of Oregon could have stood up for the Hammonds. Instead, she demands that the occupiers get arrested and this overzealous and overreach traffic stop. And I will say that that part is an overreach. What the cops actually did there, we still don't know. And I want to know.
I agree with that. And to make things more interesting or sad or whatever you want to say, I've got good news and bad news. And I think this encapsulates what's wrong with America. Here's the headline, and then I want to get Sheriff Clark's take. A candlelight vigil was held Wednesday night for Robert Lavoie Finicum. However, cops harass and continually circle the candlelight vigil. Sheriff Clark?
Well, you know, you got to use some finesse in this situation when you're law enforcement. And we've had those sorts of things. Have been in Milwaukee, it's an urban city, and you've had some violence occur and people standing up for the criminal or whatever and having this sort of thing. And it's okay to stay in the background and make observations. We get to do that. It's a public space. But to circle and agitate or give the appearance that you're doing it, it's just not necessary, and you're really inflaming things, if that's what happened. And I'm just going based on what you say. I don't know what actually happened there.
You know,
Sheriff Mack, what do you say? I agree that it's a finesse situation. But that's the problem we've got. These people can't even have a candlelight vigil. The cops could have put, 10 cops on foot or on bicycles or whatever else around and silently made sure that everything was safe and good. I respect that. But they didn't have to circle the thing and cause an issue.
Sam, remember, we were there. You and I were there supporting the Hammonds at this beautiful rally. None of us had guns. We sang Amazing Grace, and we laid flowers on their yard and doorstep. That was for the Hammonds, and that's what we are about. The cops were not there in force. I'm sure there were some plainclothes cops walking around with us. That's fine. But this, this whole thing was blown out of proportion, and I lay that at the step, at the doorstep, and the blame goes to Sheriff Ward, and it goes to the governor. These elected officials were put on notice by Lou Dobbs saying, I blame the local elected officials of Oregon, all of them, all of them. He didn't say names, he didn't mention certain positions, but all of them were responsible for allowing the Hammonds to go to prison. We know the federal government. We know they're going to do these types of ruthless and tyrannical and unlawful acts towards our citizens.
And it always seems like the government wants to take everybody to prison for every reason, except they let out the criminals over and over. That's one of big one of the big hot buttons for Sheriff Clark. Any final statements, Sheriff Clark, then Richard Mack, and I'm afraid we're out of time.
Well, just, you know, it's just like I said, and Sheriff Mack said it too, this whole thing is unfortunate, but it will happen again if we don't do something about the Bureau of Land Management. And maybe that ought to move up on the priority list of the constitutional sheriffs to get find somebody on Capitol Hill to sponsor some sort of a hearing. It's got to start with a hearing. They're not going to just propose that we eliminate the Bureau of Land Management, but if we can get some congressional hearings as to what's going on, maybe we can take some of the teeth out of the Bureau of Land Management, and that would be a benefit to all Americans.
Yeah, get rid of their SWAT teams.
I don't know why they think they need one.
Well, they love power. They love control. Do you have a final statement, Sheriff Mack?
Well, it's a pleasure to be on with Sheriff Clark. He once again exemplifies why we have such a strong relationship with him. And we're all for getting this done. And if we work together on this, maybe we can. And I think the pressure from sheriffs to Congress to get the federal government to back off and to provide some sort of program where people who have been abused like the Hammonds were have some sort of alternative somewhere.
Amen. And I'm sorry to all you callers. I know everybody thinks they need to talk to both sheriffs, but I just can't let 50-plus people do it. I can't do it. It's not possible. Thank you, Sheriff Clark.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack.
Hey, thanks. See you soon.
Godspeed to both of you. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Sam. Good work.
I hope I didn't talk too much. Did I do that, Kurt? Did I get out of control?
Thanks to the good sheriffs and all the folks listening. We appreciate it, and God bless America.
I tried to play traffic cop and just, you know, make sure the sheriffs were, you know, cooperative to each other. I mean, I did my best, people.
Yes, you
did. All right. Isn't that interesting? All right, LibertyRoundtable.com. We the people can restore America. This nation shall endure.